Reading today will be coming from Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24. It's found in your Pew Bibles, New Testament, page 194. Titled, The Old Life and the New. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and hardness of heart. They have lost all sensitivity and have abandoned themselves to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. That is not the way you've learned Christ, for surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. This ends the reading for this morning. Brother Jerry?
I have a Facebook friend, no one at this church, that has attended multiple years of college, but he's never had a job. I'll give him a fictitious name, Jim, we'll call him. I don't think Jim knows Jesus like I know Jesus, and he's not even interested in knowing Jesus like I know Jesus. He considers himself wise, knowledgeable, and is quick to disagree or argue with anyone whose opinion is different than his own. Believing in his intellectual capabilities and that they are superior to everyone, he's convinced himself that his interpretation of life and scripture and truth is correct. Disagreeing with him is pointless. So I avoid disagreeing with him on Facebook or in person to person. He has made up his mind, and he's not interested in knowing the truth. After all, he does know. And I'm old, and I'm ignorant in his mind. And Jim's right. He will always be right. Please don't look at anyone right now, but do you know anybody like Jim? Thank you for looking straight at me. Now I'm feeling kind of ignorant. Too prideful in their opinion, too stubborn to even listen to anyone who disagrees with them. They are arrogant, stubborn, prideful, headstrong. Why is that? Why are there people like that? Well, I really think the root is pride. There's a natural tendency for human beings to be defensive when told that they're wrong. Verse 17. Thank you, Mike, for reading today's scripture, and thank you, Rita, for all of your work on the PowerPoint. Verse 17, and if you're not turned in your Bibles, this is going to be a mini Bible study. It's not going to last all that long, but I would encourage you, if you have a Bible, or turn to your Pew Bibles to the New Testament side, that's the second side, turn to page 194. And that's where we'll find Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17, going through 24. Verse 17, Paul uses the word Gentiles to describe unbelievers. Now, Jim is just an example of one type of Gentile that Paul talks about in these verses. Verse 17 reads, and let me reread it. He says, "Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles live, in the futility of their minds." Right there, he's describing Jim. Gentiles, you have to remember he's writing this to the churches at Ephesus. And if you look on a map where Ephesus was or is, it was right across part of the Mediterranean Sea, not too far away from Greece. And so, of course, people in the Greek society, they were enlightened people. They were educated people. And they, of course, we know they worshiped idols and gods that the Israelites didn't worship. But the church at Ephesus was certainly influenced by that Greek culture. And here we have one example. I've got to chuckle at Paul and how he tries to get the attention of the people at that church. He says, "Now this I affirm and insist on." He uses those words there in your translation. And then he throws in really quick, "In the Lord, I insist on. You must no longer live like Gentiles live." Now, if you go to another version, many other versions do not use the words "live as the Gentiles live." They use "walk." Don't walk like the Gentiles, which means the same thing. Don't live like those Gentiles live. And then he adds the one way in which they live. They live in the futility of their minds. Paul might have been Facebook friends with Jim. I don't know. But if he were living at the same era, he probably used Jim as an example. Paul tells us that people like Jim will always reject the gospel message. You probably know a few. The fact that they need forgiveness for their sin is foreign to them. Needing salvation that can only be received by accepting Jesus Christ as their Redeemer, that act of repentance is going to be irrational to their cognitive abilities. So excuses, intellectual pride, rationalization do keep people away from Jesus Christ. The gospel will appear to be foolish to them. And certainly that existed in the Greek Empire and Roman Empire, of course. This was all part of the Roman Empire at one time as well. Not just like Jim, but all who are comfortable in their sin are going to have a problem accepting Jesus Christ. Let's go to verses 18 and 19 that follow 17, of course. And there's some phrases here that help to describe those Gentiles, not just people who walk in the futility of their mind. But here I see the word, the phrase in verse 18, their understanding is darkened. Then I see that I remember, yes, the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire did worship idols. And they also prioritized learning and education to the point of it being an idol in their culture. Then Paul uses the phrase, they're alienated from a life with God. Don't have a relationship with God. So they really don't know God. They think they do because of all the gods that they worship. Now, remember, he's talking about the Gentiles in there. That's hopefully not the church at Ephesus that he's talking to the people at Ephesus. Another phrase, another word he uses is ignorance there in your translation. And also hardness of heart. And that rings a bell. Rings a bell when, remember, when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, and every time that Moses and Aaron went to talk to Pharaoh, he said, okay, yeah, I'll let him go. And then all of a sudden his heart got hardened. They have a hardness of heart. They've changed their minds. They've dug in their heels. They've resisted the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 19, I see some more descriptives of the Gentiles. They've lost sensitivity, I think your version says, the New Revised Standard Version. I really like the way it's worded. Lost sensitivity, calloused is what I think of, or bitter I think of people who have lost their sensitivity. Something has happened in their life to cause this. Probably people that they're living with. Probably the culture in which they are living. Or something, a life event that made them that way. And then your scripture in your pew says they've abandoned themselves to licentiousness. Now, I had to look up that word to try to figure out what in the world is that. I can't even pronounce it, let alone spell it. But it is defined as they are dead to immorality, disregarding sexual restraints is the definition that I found for that $64,000 word. Boy, talk about a different reason for Gentiles to ignore the convicting message of the gospel and wanting to love the Lord. Yeah. Abandon themselves to immorality. And then I think the last phrase that I see there in verse 19, they're greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Greedy to practice every kind of impurity, every kind of sin. New King James Version says they've given themselves to lewdness, lewdness, and that's defined as indecent behavior and exposure and even indecent conversation. Wow. Yeah, we hear indecent conversations just about everywhere in our culture, don't we? At work, at school, with our neighborhood, television, movies, you name it, books we read. And then we get to verses 20 and 21, and there Paul is reminding the Ephesians that they have been taught by him about Jesus Christ. They have learned Jesus Christ's expectation of their behavior. They should have learned from his teachings. And this is the church. Now, he's not expecting the Gentiles to convert, but he's saying, you people here at Ephesus, you need to, and then he says in verse 22, you need to put away your old self, is the exact wording in the New Revised Standard Version that you have. Put away your old self. Now, I don't know if you have a different version in your hands, but a lot of other versions use a different set of words there. Instead of put away your old self, they say to put away your old man. Landon, don't even think about putting away your old man. I know he won't let you do that. But no, this has nothing to do with gender, first of all. Just like the word mankind is a word that is for everybody who's alive, every human being, that's what Paul is talking about. Put away the old man. And that means the old nature, the old self, like your versions have. Yes. Which, verse 22 says, is corrupt and filled with lusts. Take off, even that's the New King James Version, take off your old man. And it makes me think of Elwood. I had a shirt just like that, but it didn't look as good as your shirt. Your shirt is a beautiful shirt, nice and clean, no holes, no frayed collar, like my favorite shirt that I had when I first married Donna, and she saw this in my closet and said, "What's that?" And she was embarrassed if I wanted to wear it. I couldn't wear it in public, of course. I could wear it around the house, but even then she had this look of disgust on her face. It reminds me of my very favorite comfortable shirt that I like to wear because it doesn't bother me. It gives where I want it to give. And who cares if it has some torn elbows or a collar that's frayed? And who cares if it has some paint marks on it? And what, I mean, it's comfortable. Men, say amen. I guess I'm the only one who has it. I don't have that shirt anymore. I wanted to put it on this morning. I couldn't find it. Sin is very much like my old shirt. Sin is so easy to be a part of our habits, to be a part of our everyday life. Just little things that we tolerate, or little things that we participate in. Paul is saying, take off the old man, take off the old self, and put on the new. And now we go to verse 23 to figure out, well, all right, so what is this new person? What is this new life? What does this new man, this new self look like? Well, verse 23, he uses the word reborn. Renewed is what he says. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that makes me think of something that has been reborn. Verse 24, he says, clothe yourselves with the new self. Put on a shirt like Elwood has. Don't suffer. Don't be comfortable with that shirt that is a representation of your old nature before you knew Jesus Christ. Put on the new man, righteous and holy. I think those are the last phrase of that verse 24. Righteous and holy, created in the likeness of God. So, can you see the difference between Christians and non-Christians? Can you actually see the difference? Because their shirt is clean, their shoes are polished, they look good on the outside. Can you tell? No, not by the way they look. You can tell pretty much by the way they live. By their fruits ye shall know them, Scripture says. Paul insists that the Ephesians leave behind their carnal nature, their life of sin, now that they were followers of Christ. But living the Christian life, I have to be truthful, is a process. Growing in the Lord is a process. It's not a do-it-yourself project. It takes time, and it takes help from the Holy Spirit as we are being reshaped on that potter's wheel. Reassess your past few years. I didn't know any of you, except for certain one person. I didn't know you before we came here in May. So I don't know what you believed in or how you lived or even if you knew Jesus as your personal Savior. I didn't know that. And many of you, I've learned quite a bit from you. Reassess those past few years. Do you see a change in your thoughts, in your attitudes, in your actions? Hopefully you do. A growing change, a growing in the Lord change. Because it is a process to be a believer. It is a process to be a Christian. And that comes as you trust God to change you, as he reveals his heart to you and convicts you of what is left behind still as an old man. I don't know if you've ever cleaned underneath your refrigerator at home. I don't know if you've ever cleaned underneath your range at home until it's time all of a sudden you need to replace that refrigerator and you pull it out and, I hope the neighbors don't come. I hope they don't see what, and underneath the range, if you have to replace and buy a new stove, it, what? That was down there the whole time? It's easy to let dust accumulate in the nooks and crannies. It's easy to let dirt accumulate. It's easy to let, what do we call the drawer that we throw everything in? The junk drawer. Yeah, you knew that answer. It's easy to crowd a junk drawer and not do anything about it, just let it be, and not take care of and not weed through what's valuable and what's really junk. It's really easy to let that accumulate in your own life. You probably thought I'd never change slides. Well, I like to change to this slide that is complementing, it's written by Paul also, that talks about the old man. I'm not sure if I can see that. I think verses 5, 6, and 14. Okay, goes like this. For we have been united, well, I better turn. We have been united together in the likeness of his death. I'm not sure what version I have on my paper. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And then moving on way down to verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, shall not have control over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. And now, I don't know what the temptations are in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with. It could be sexual sin, it could be pornography, it could be a temptation to commit adultery, or it could be an addiction of some sort. Alcoholism, compulsive behaviors. I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe it's just negative emotions like anger, pride, doubt, or fear. I don't know. You may be struggling with materialism or idolatry. It could be just discouragement, depression, hopelessness. Or it could be secret sins that no one else in your household knows about. All of these are techniques. All of these are barriers that Satan uses to make us his slaves and to prevent us from knowing Jesus like we need to know. That old man, that body of sin, enslaves us. It's actually a type of a prison that keeps us from a relationship with Jesus. I'd like to show a music video which was posted on YouTube, and I went to iTunes and bought the rights to show it to you this morning. Zach Williams is a Christian musician. He wrote a lot of music, and the song that you're going to hear is No Longer Slaves. He took his band to a prison in South Dakota, Harding Prison, Harding County Prison. And they recorded him doing this song in front of the prisoners. And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see an actual recording, actual video taken inside the prison while this was happening. This video was actually posted, like I just told you, on YouTube originally. And then you can see there, it has over 19 million views already on YouTube. And it has over 6,000 comments from people who saw the YouTube video. So I thought I whittled it down to 2,000 that you're going to see. Just kidding. I'm going to let Mike start the video in a minute here. So hold on, Mike. I'm going to let him start this video, and about halfway through, I'm going to start showing you some, maybe about six or seven, I forget how many, of those comments that people uploaded to this site where the video was posted. I'm not going to read them out loud. I'm going to let you read them quietly to yourself while the song is finishing up. Okay? And then we'll have a closing prayer. All right, Mike, you're on.
I'm no longer. Child of God,
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we cannot do this by ourselves. You've seen our failures. You've seen where we've fallen short. Every day, we ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.